The Unforgiven by Barbara Machen.
Grace's story, February the 11th, 1984, day 2.
Help me, yeah?
A condemned street in an unforgiving world. A chilling house due for demolition, used for abduction and death, and full of horror.
This is it. We found it.
Snow falling like it would never stop, a minute past midnight. When investigators are racing the clock, all too often they look to the profile of her shortcuts.
Jilly's room?
They're short of clues.
Oh, hell.
Or the science is taking too long, and they look for words and theories to get them through. Or they face human behaviour, just too awful to bear. It's as if my knowledge, my insight, can protect them from evil.
What do you think, Grace?
But there is no protection.
What's the matter? What can you see?
You better come up when you're ready.
I couldn't be ready for what I was about to see, or for climbing the ladder. Arriving on the landing and seeing it stretching into the attic, my heart stopped. Such a small, simple thing, not rational or logical. I'd have to climb it, no way round it. My mouth dry, my mind skidding, the time expanding and slowing. Fear takes you like a riptide. Fear reminds you how near death may be.
Oh, God, no, no.
Gonna have to help me.
Grab my hand. Lena, gently. Help.
Oh, I can't, I can't. I can't do the gap. Sorry.
Behind her, Mel.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Grace, don't worry. I've got you. Mel will hold you.
Okay. I've got you.
Thank you.
I'll lift you.
Okay. Go.
All right. That's it.
I just... Oh.
Oh. There. Got you. You're okay, Grace.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay.
Why didn't you tell me?
I couldn't. I had to see this. So I had to get past it. The gift of fear.
Sorry?
Well, we talk about fear. A movie, a job, a storm. But real fear rises on a primal limbic level. Unstoppable. A black timeless terror. And a gift, ultimately. A deep knowing. And we need that to do this. This place was Jilly's fear. And this place is him. The giver of fear. The candles, the flowers, just like the other rooms. He kept her here.
She had had her photo taken at airport security the night she disappeared, so we know what she was wearing.
Our missing fifth girl, Jilly Bristow. Her body still not found. But here were her clothes, put into the single bed as if she were wearing them, sleeping. The arms of her black cashmere sweater resting just outside the turned-down sheet. Frankie pulled the coverlet away to reveal her jeans.
Oh, he's taking the mick.
But different from the others. Look, their clothes were just left tidy or folded. This is
sick.
It's a progression. She's all about confidence and control. He wants us to recoil. He enjoys just thinking about that.
The dust and the cobwebs are undisturbed in the same way as the rest of the house.
3 years ago, then, in Fitz, she was his last victim.
Her boarding pass is still in her pocket.
She disappeared the day she got back from a package holiday. She left the airport car park, but never got home.
That's another difference. The others all disappeared several days after they'd flown.
Well, they were travelling alone.
He followed them, then. Observed them, and then picked them off later.
But why so many differences? We need to understand the reason. He hides her room and we never find her body. And that's the most significant of all. With the other four bodies, they were left where they could be found quickly and were horribly staged for maximum effect.
So why deprive himself of that?
Killers often escalate their behaviour, but very rarely change the entire template.
And there was more. That's what Spencer had seen. He'd used Frankie's UV torch by mistake, swung the beam round the bed, and saw blood everywhere.
It is blood, Spencer. I've got blood right here. There's blood on her shirt all around the armpit, and she's bled onto the bed.
But that's not how the others died.
Which is hugely significant.
Looks like a military kill.
Classic. Plunge a blade just below the armpit and twist it. It severs the arterial system, maybe even punctures the heart. Instant, efficient death, but minimum blood.
The others were all suffocated. And that's not just about killing. It's about intimacy. He wanted to experience their fear, their dying, up close and personal.
McTeer admitted the four, but always denied Ginny, so maybe he didn't.
Or he made it look that way. We have to keep our minds open.
Hang on, there's something else here. I think the killer might have cut himself. Look, there's a bloke's jacket rolled up in the corner. Blood on the arm.
A camo jacket. McTeer wore combats all the time. But that'll be blood from Jilly, surely.
No, unlikely. I mean, a wound like that doesn't bleed excessively, as you can see on her clothing. And it is easy to cut yourself extricating a knife from a deep wound. Hang on, let me just check for more. Can you pass me the ultraviolet torch, Mel?
Pull the carpet up from the floorboard, just there by the bed.
Wow, look at that.
What a nasty cut to bleed like that.
That luminous green, is that all blood?
No, not all. The blue smudgy bits will be a bleach compound where he's tried to clear it up. Creates an annoying false positive, and it makes it hard, if not impossible, to sample.
Try this, Frankie.
That's where blood's dripped through, solid green. I'll get some samples. Just you try round the light switch, Mel. If his hand was bleeding...
Oh, yeah. Big area. He's tried to clean it off here too.
He knew we couldn't see it with the naked eye.
If this is McTeer's blood, he killed her. His appeal's over. Our job's done.
And if it isn't?
We have an accomplice killer.
We drove back in silence. Outside, a ghosted city. Snow on snow. Britters on journeys to nowhere in the endless night. Spencer, like a weary general, was briefing a small army.
I want the whole damn garden dug up.
I'll call in a forensic archaeologist to supervise.
It's 2 a.m, Frank.
Tough, it's urgent. If she's buried there, I don't want the plods trying to yank her out of frozen ground.
I didn't actually hear her charm or apologise. All she knew was a dead girl was waiting somewhere with her poor lost life. And so was Boyd on his own thread. And so was the commissioner.
He wants to see me in his office at 8.
Oh, shit! But Boyd said...
A call to the press made sure this is no longer a secret, Frankie. He's fuming.
As we left, I heard Spencer having a call with his fiancée. Her figure skaters were through to their Olympic quarter-final, and she couldn't sleep with excitement. He was sweet, reassuring her. Frankie hummed the bolero rather too loudly.
It's been a long, short time.
I wasn't going to let anyone listen to that. Bits of it are a bit personal.
I have to check there isn't something maybe subtextual that you've missed.
Subtextual? Yeah, let me know about that.
I'm telling you this because...
Subtext loud and clear. He rang you, not his wife.
This trail of destruction.
And it wasn't just to warn you. And he said...
Those words, like you do when your neck's on the block. And then he buggered off. And here we are, frozen, starving, and sleepless.
Try and protect yourself, Frankie.
Yeah, he's married, I know. Oh, and I just remembered that she's pregnant. The irony that I should know before him. So much for it's all over, we don't sleep together anymore, and I'm leaving.
People having affairs say stuff.
Well, don't worry, we agreed it had to stop, so we did. I'd only just moved in with someone else. And now this. And he couldn't just ask for help, could he? He had to go and say...
what he couldn't say before.
Yeah, to make sure I'd do it.
No, he's better than that, Frankie. So this someone else? Why have you moved out? Frankie?
Because it's what I always do.
So an affair felt safer? You enjoyed the impossibility? Excitement without cooking supper? No pressure to commit?
Oh, remind me never to accept to live with you again. Thank you, Grace. He was more than an affair.
He was less than real.
Thanks. So now I get to ask you. Why are you doing this case?
I needed to find someone. It was complicated and Boyd helped me. No questions, no judgment, he just got to work. And I'll always owe him.
And did you find that someone?
Sort of, yes.
This Alcatraz.
I don't live my life and not think a few thoughts, Frankie.
Right. Grace, what you said yesterday about me being insensitive, you meant rude.
I was joking.
Well, no, you weren't, but it's okay. I know. I do that. I suppose it's just... I don't know. The lock's on my door.
I know. You might want to talk to...
No, actually, I'm fine, honestly. But what you said about fear, I know it myself. And it was a really brave thing to say.
Frankie.
Night, Grace.
Frankie, wait.
That'll be for you.
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
Sorry, this is late.
Kate?
I thought I'd get your machine.
Better to talk.
Wasn't last time, was it?
We got cut off.
I hung up, actually. Sorry. Couldn't cope.
Kate, please.
No heavy stuff, right? Not on the phone.
So come and see me then. We need to talk.
You used the cops?
No, a friend. Look, after your call, I wrote to you.
Get real, Grace. It was a squat.
Did you get my letter? Did you read it?
Always about your timing. What you want, what you think.
I'm so sorry. So meet me and tell me about you. Kate, you rang me.
Don't do your psych thing, Mum.
I am your mum. Meet me.
So you can tell me how I got it all wrong. How you can make it all right.
I got it wrong. I don't need to see you to tell you that. Please, just give me a chance, Kate.
I'll ring you.
Bye, Angel.
Spencer, bloods will be done by noon, Grace. They worked all night. Nobody in the garden. I need you back here, please. Frankie's not answering her phone.
She's here. We're on our way. Did you see the commissioner?
Yep. Later, okay?
The car was buried, caked in ice. It was still snowing. Tiny, bitter flakes. It was past nine and barely light.
God's sake, Grace, is there anything you can't do? Oh, and by the way, there's absolutely nothing. Not even mouldy cheese in your fridge.
Well, you slept well, I can tell.
And no coffee. Green tea. Cat's pee. Oh, and the phone just rang. I called you, but then I thought, well, actually, I prayed. I might have gone to the shops.
Spencer?
No, your daughter.
What?
Well, she said it wasn't important. Oh, God. What?
Did she leave a message?
Well, she said she'd try again. She wouldn't leave a number.
Did you try number recall?
No, I...
Oh.
Any luck?
Number withheld. It's okay, it's fine.
No, it's not.
She'll call back. Come on, let's go.
Mel found us breakfast and coffee. We all looked like hell, but Spencer the worst. He was on the phone arguing about a wedding car as we all assembled. Kate ringing me should have been a good thing, but missing her call was worse. It had taken her over a year to get in touch after Boyd first found her. We hung on a thread and we both knew it.
You okay? Fine.
Yeah, fine.
So, let's go for it. Grace, you start.
Oh, yes, okay. The four girls were all dumped in rubbish skips at the back of supermarkets. Can we get all the photos up on the board, please? Oh, and before they died, let's look them in the eye and call them by their names. Thank you, Mel.
Rose Gilchrist, Sean Robinson, Maggie Thurling.
And Jade Singleton. Let's stay focused. Their poor stolen lives and their killer trying to overturn his conviction.
Look, sorry, I didn't...
No, I'm talking to us all now. Too easy to talk bodies. And here they are. Thank you. Okay. He was demonstrating what he thought of them. The shearing of their hair, the lipstick smearing their teeth.
Why the cling filming of their heads?
It's a way to degrade and dehumanise them. He made them into things. They were left to be found, staged, to create revulsion. So our first question. This doesn't match his behaviour with them in the house.
What about the timing? Why is this happening after 3 years?
Something's triggered him. Boyd's book is obviously part of that, and he's enjoying the mechanics of revelation. It involves risk, and that gives him the feeling of control.
If this is McTeer, he's getting his kicks all over again. He can't do it for real, but he's making this happen remotely.
That's clever, but it's not scientific. It's hard to believe he could have organised this.
He launched an appeal. That takes some doing.
Although the lawyer almost certainly hunted this down. The irony is he probably got the idea from Boyd's book, which detailed McTeer's refusal to admit to Gilly Bristow's murder.
Calling the press to the house has put huge pressure on the police.
Yes, it brings big publicity to the appeal, just as the commissioner's trying to keep it low-key.
He's in total meltdown. He made it very clear this morning that he'll sacrifice anyone he has to if McTeer wins his appeal. That includes any one of us who puts a foot wrong.
He's threatening us?
It's called damage limitation, Frankie. As long as it sticks to someone.
Well, I'm not a cop. Neither is Grace. He's got no right to pressure us.
He's reminding us of our personal incentives. Mm. You especially, Frankie.
Oh, great. Thanks for that.
I've always struggled with the fact that Eddie McTeer is a deeply unattractive, woman-hating man. I mean, he makes my flesh creep just to be in the same room as him. So how did he ever get those intelligent, streetwise girls to engage with him?
Yeah.
And who's helping him now?
Okay, let's start with the house. No one but McTeer could have known about that.
So he's involved someone else? Someone who's delivered the book and the card and done the phone messages? Someone he has to trust with his life?
Someone at the prison? A screw? Yeah. I mean, he's a deeply manipulative bloke, right? And famous with it. McTeer's a household name, so maybe this sick other is getting a thrill out of doing his bidding.
Sometimes, however much you need deductive reasoning or clues to help you move on, or evidence to back up theories, sometimes the answer just evolves as you talk. It takes shape out of the blizzard of everything you've seen and struggled with. slowly at Mel's, and you know it for what it is. An entire picture slots together like an elaborate mosaic.
Or it's simpler. Maybe right from the beginning, McTeer had an accomplice, and the two of them offended together.
But why would McTeer protect him? When he got caught, he'd have shot him, surely.
Not if he was frightened of him. Not if he was the subservient of the two. It's a classic couple offender construct. More usually it's a man and a woman, Brady and Hindley, for instance. But there are many examples of two men. The chemistry they generate between them is toxic.
But surely that bond stopped working as soon as McTeer was caught.
He's doing life and taking the rap while his mate runs free. I mean, how does that work?
Fear, Frankie. Off the scale, illogical, non-negotiable fear, and hardwired by what they'd done together. And that bit's very complex. Especially if the other keeps firmly in touch, as he will have done, and keeps McTeer firmly in his place.
But sex offenders don't just stop. The offending did stop when McTeer was arrested.
Or did it? Without McTeer at his side, maybe the offending paused, and then when it began again, it had changed. The two of them together created a perfect storm. That terrible house became the shared height of their powers.
So how would the offending have changed?
Exactly, Mel, exactly. We need to search back and look at all the unsolved rapes after McTeer went down.
OK, I'll get started.
Well, I'll see if those bloods are back.
And I need to borrow Grace just for a minute.
Oh, OK.
Grace, Frankie asked me to trace a call made to your house this morning.
She
it was from a pub in Hackney, so I asked if your daughter was there.
Oh, you shouldn't
And I spoke
have.
To her. I asked her to ring you here.
She gets jumpy about the police.
Well, I gave her your office number. I said midday.
Well, that's now.
Go.
Grace, please.
No, sorry, I've got to take this. Grace Foley.
Look, this is all the wrong way around. Sorry, this wasn't going to be the next conversation. When I spoke to whoever that was this morning...
A friend.
Whatever. When you weren't there this morning, I bottled it. So, thanks for bothering to get your copter.
I didn't know she had.
I see.
Oh, no, I mean, I didn't want to pressure you. I was upset, that's why she...
Okay, there's no time. I just need a favour.
Of course.
Just like that.
Hmm.
I need help.
Are you in trouble, Kate?
When can I meet you? You know what, forget it, you're busy.
Kate, of course I'm busy, but not for you. How about my office?
Not your work, please.
Okay, well, you've got my address. Tonight? You could eat, stay.
It won't take long. I'll ring later.
Well, I look forward to seeing you.
Best not.
Bye, love.
Grace, Mel can take your messages.
It was personal and important. Sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, fine.
So, talk me through the accomplice.
Right.
He got away with everything. But however sure he is that McTeer won't grass him up, he's still on thin ice, always.
Yeah.
So why lead us to the house? Why risk getting caught now?
Invincibility? He will have revelled in his power over McTeer. And if he's still evading the police, that's another major triumph.
McTeer mounting his appeal must have worried him.
And excited him. The chemistry's back. And he needs to demonstrate control, so he does him a favour. He throws a spotlight back on the case when McTeer needs it most.
But leading us to the house, he's risked revealing himself.
Overconfidence might be his fatal flaw, but it's also what drives him. This way, he's back in the big time with McTeer all over again.
The two different types of behaviour.
Are the two men. One had a narrative where he cherished his victims and was probably the prime rapist. The other probably helped him practically as the abductor and then later disposed of them like garbage.
McTeer was a disposer?
Almost certainly.
So it's time we talk to him?
We have to wait until we have evidence. We need to go in on a position of strength.
His appeal could set him free. Now's the time to confess.
But if he knows we have no proof, he's dangerous. He'll enjoy playing us, Spence. His fear of this accomplice has kept him quiet for over 3 years.
Okay, so here's what I've got so far. The blood on that jacket, definitely not McTeer's.
So it is the accomplice.
Well, I have to eliminate Jilly first.
What's the problem?
The blood on her clothing is too degraded to test for her blood group. He thought of everything. He doused it all in bleach.
But surely we've got her blood group in the case notes.
No one in the original investigation thought to get it. And of course her body wasn't found.
Okay, I'll ring her parents.
There was no need, I rang her mum.
Frankie, you've got to do this stuff carefully.
Well, how do you ask for that, carefully? Anyway, she didn't know. Never had a reason to. So I need something, anything with her blood. Her dad's still in the family home, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to go and look through anything that she owned.
No, you've got enough to do here. Men will go. Grace, you go too.
Right, so cancel the car to the scraps?
For now, yes. Thank you.
Oh, the exhibit you asked for, boss. The camo jacket. Frankie says it's incredibly irregular.
I know.
And it must not be unbagged.
I'm aware. And get me Matthias' prison files. All records, medical, discipline, the lot. I want to know when he last blew his nose.
Oh, and can you get someone to nip out and get me 2 packs of Rothmans and a copy of The Sun? Oh, and a bag of Twitlers.
Can you get me some chocolate? Either a picnic or a marathon.
Okay. Is that it? Last orders? Oh, and Spence, there's an urgent message from the caterers.
Caterers?
Your wedding? Can you ring them back?
Dreading this, Grace. I mean, it's been over 3 years and we're asking him if he's still got his dead daughter's toothbrush.
Why don't you leave it to me? It is sort of my job. The snow was half-hearted now, flurries on a freezing wind. Ice froze the edge of every branch and leaf. The temperature hadn't risen above freezing all day. The house had a for sale sign up in the front garden. Every room was bare. Clive Bristow looked like a ghost.
I've shown so many people around, but no takers. Maybe they know. Maybe it frightens them.
Did you have any ideas about any things of Jilly's?
My wife moved out. We threw all Jilly's clothes away. Sorry.
He was staring at Mel, like he was about to say something but couldn't find the words.
Anything you've kept? You might not think it could help, but...
Oh, I am so sorry. I don't mean to stare. But you look so like her. So young.
We're going to do absolutely everything we can. We will find her, sir, I promise you.
Might we help you look?
Of course.
What's this box, Claire?
My wife used it for Jilly's baby things, but I've lost the key.
Would you mind if I tried? Ah, such a beautiful blonde curl. And the tissue paper.
My first baby teeth.
Mr. Bristow, we will need to look at these.
We'll be very careful. She swung the car round, skidding in the road as she rushed the tooth back to the lab. The fast car picked me up. Headquarters had taken a message an hour ago. Kate would meet me at my house. The snow came down through thin sunlight. Huge, feathery flakes. A whirling, confusing world. A forgiveness between her and me would be possible, surely. For a few moments, I had never seen anything more beautiful. Even my aunt's house, always so empty of her,
and so not mine yet. Felt warmer, softer, waiting. I was going to throw together some soup, warm some bread, open a bottle. But then I saw her note. Her sweet, upright handwriting I hadn't seen for years.
I didn't break in. There was a vent open at the back. You should see to that. I was going to wait. I want to see you properly, but not today. Things went wrong, and you were late, and you're too busy, and I have to go, and maybe this will never work. It's true, Mum, we both know it. I'm sorry. Love, Kate.
Kate?
Sorry, no, Grace, it's me. I'm coming to pick you up to go to the scrubs.
Oh, has Frankie got the blood results back?
It's going to take hours, Grace. We can't afford to wait. We have to see McTeer. 10 minutes, yeah?
I deserved this. I'd got back too late, and I was too busy. And then the blow, the one I couldn't duck. If she had been here, what would I have done? Say no to Spencer? Or no to her. That's what had always happened. It had finally stopped snowing. A harsh wind whipped up new drifts, new snow without snowfall. When would Scrubs look like a grim advent calendar? Low winter sun caught gothic windows, iced with last night's snow. Spencer flashed his ID at the security guard, who swiftly ushered us through to a waiting room. It was rank with misery.
I'll talk to him first, Grace. You watch through the observation window.
That's not a good idea. I'm the one he knows. I know how to handle him.
Let's get him out of his comfort zone.
Better to play him. Flatter him. Get him showing off. It's all about control with these guys. If he wants to impress you, he might say too much.
I want him floored and frightened.
And I have spent over a year building his trust. My visits, our visit now, makes him come alive again. He's somebody again, so use that. Make him angry and he'll clam shut. Trust me.
The little creep's expecting to walk free, Grace. So let's sell him anything he wants to hear. That catching his accomplice will prove that the cops stitched him up.
Maybe they did. Maybe Boyd had to.
I know Boyd like a brother, Grace. The biggest stitch-up is what's happening to him. Let's do this.
In his own cell, then. He's got used to an interview room. Let's take this to where he lives. Spencer glanced round the cramped, masculine space, and I saw his surprise at the meticulous neatness. I'd seen it before, and it chilled my blood every time. His possessions were laid out with the precision of surgical instruments. McTeer's pink baby face had skin the texture and colour of boiled meat. He crunched his knuckles nervously.
You usually bring me something, Grace. As a courtesy to help offset the mindless austerity.
But this wasn't planned, Eddie. Your sudden invitation to Arnhem Way made our visit urgent.
Talking here in my cell is beginning to feel intrusive.
Actually, I have bought you your cigarettes and papers, Eddie. Yes, and your twiglets.
Maybe we should talk alone, Grace, as we usually do.
This is about helping you, Eddie. So we both need to know. Did you tell him to send us the address of the house, or was that his idea?
I need my solicitor.
You really don't. In fact, much better if you work out the best scenario before you do anything official. You know you need some help here, don't you, Eddie? Before we find him. And before he tries to take you over. And he will. I can help you protect yourself.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Tell us where he is. Tell us
before we get him and he twists every damn thing. You know he will. He'll try and bury you. The time's arrived, Eddie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But you do. You lied to everyone. And you're lying now. There was someone else with you, Eddie. Someone who helped you snatch those women. Someone who's out there right now laughing at us and laughing at you.
No one laughs at me.
So who's doing time in a cell the size of a phone box? Who's here for the rest of his life while your mate's out there living his life?
Stop! Stop this now!
Spencer, please.
You left your jacket in the house, Eddie.
Go on.
Have a look.
It may not be his, Spencer.
But it has to be yours, doesn't it, Eddie? Because who else would leave their jacket in that house? But Grace might be right. It does look too big for you.
No, it can't be his.
So that means there was someone else.
I think that's what Eddie's silence is telling us, Spencer.
No. It is mine. It is.
Okay. But we found this in the pocket. A marathon bar. But you're a diabetic, aren't you, Eddie?
I use it if I get a hypo for a sugar boost.
So what about the nuts? Aren't you allergic to the nuts?
No.
But that's what your prison medical records say.
No, that was just a childhood thing.
Go on then, take a bite.
There's no need for it.
Just take a bite, Eddie.
Eat it.
I can't.
Of course you can't. Because you know without your combo pen, this would kill you. Look for his pen, Grace.
Right.
No, you can't.
Admit it,
Eddie.
Don't
touch anything.
This isn't yours because this isn't your jacket.
Spencer, outside now.
I'm running this and we're doing fine. And don't worry, your page when we're interviewing.
Moderate your tone, Spencer. Take this down a tad or you'll lose him.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Hi, Frankie. We're on speakerphone.
Okay, I've got a blood group from Jilly's tooth. Rare, actually, AB. So, categorically, it is not her blood on the jacket.
McTeer's accomplice?
No question.
We didn't exchange a word. The psychological profile had put us ahead of the game. And now, finally, we had our proof. I think I owe you an apology. You were the organiser, weren't you, Eddie? The book, the card, the house. And before that, the girls and the whole damn thing. That was you. You deserve the recognition. But not this, not all by yourself. So why go on protecting
him? You've got this all wrong.
You're going back into court when the appeal fails. And you know why? We finally got proof of your accomplice, so covering up for him is no longer an option. It's a crime.
You stirring this back up again, Eddie, has made us look back at unsolved crimes. And some of them are yours. The ones you got away with, before the girls. By the time we've finished, you'll be facing a whole new slew of charges, and all on your own.
What proof? You're lying.
We found his blood on this jacket.
So just tell the truth. You abducted together, didn't you? You couldn't possibly have done it without him.
And they wouldn't even look at you twice, Eddie, would they?
Ignore him, Eddie. If he made things worse, more violent, you must tell me, Eddie, and we'll make sure he pays.
McTeer, come on. We know he's in touch with you. Where is he?
It's time to stop, Spencer. Okay. Okay, it's all right, Eddie. I'll make him stop. It's all right, Eddie. You're okay.
Get away from me, bitch. Look at you. Look at you.
Oh. Come on, Eddie. It's okay. Take her out of here.
As I left, I saw Spencer with his arm round McTeer, sitting him down, comforting him, our roles reversed, following our plan.
She's gone. She's gone. It's okay. So now, you can talk to me. Yeah? Man to man.
I couldn't stop shaking.
pulled my face away from the chill of the mirror and took a long look at my terrified reflection. The lipstick smear on my front tooth. Eddie's hatred for women caught in that small prosaic detail. This was his trigger, a revulsion he'd never admitted but would lead to his story. I wiped it away.
Well done, Grace.
What he's told you?
He admitted him. Nothing more, but it's a massive breakthrough.
I told him. Always, always give them back the body. Never hide it. Oh, they never stop. They never forgive you.
You did so well to tell us. And you're right about the body. And best now to tell us where it is.
I don't know.
Come on, Eddie.
No. You can tell us now. He did her after. After they'd got me. He did it by himself.
No clothes. They were in the house.
He's lost without me. And then he locked the house up and...
And you weren't involved at all?
No.
You're lying. And even if you weren't still there when he killed her, he'd have told you. He'd have wanted you to share it. He'd have found a way to tell you. You know where she is. I could see Mel at the door, and Spencer was gesturing me out. But was Eddie caving in? Were years of silence finally opening? Psychopaths don't really experience emotions. They try them out briefly. But in a second, they can revert to emotional shutdown. I made a mistake. I left him. What is so urgent?
You need to hear this.
A young woman's gone missing, Grace. Her mum's sure she's been abducted. She drove back from the airport. Her car was found parked outside her house with its door wide open. Her suitcase and handbag still inside and a red lipstick dropped in the snow. Signs of a struggle. Boyd's book was left on the passenger seat.
I went back to McTeer's cell. He'd stopped crying and was smoothing down the bed where we'd been sitting. He turned to face me confidently. I went to pick up my coat and he reached out his hand and put it on mine. He'd never touched me before.
He wouldn't leave without telling me, would he, Grace?
He held the moment. He seemed to enjoy how he kept me there. I saw a flicker of excitement.
He's got another girl, isn't he?
In episode 2 of The Unforgiven by Barbara Machin, Grace was played by Sue Johnston, Frankie by Holly Aird, Mel Claire Goose, Spencer, Will Johnson, Boyd, Anthony Howell, Kate, Kerry Goodison, Clive Bristow, Simon Shepherd, and Eddie McTeer by Justin Salinger. The Unforgiven was directed by Allegra McElroy.